Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Son, this is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God that we're getting better on the mend. Had a little bit of a bug there for a couple weeks, but thank God that He is our healer. I believe I have Sheila G. and Dr. G. on the line. You guys there?
Yes, we are.
Praise the Lord. Dr. G., you on the mend?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm coming along.
Amen. Amen. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank You for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study Your word. And Father, we pray that You will bless us, that we'll be able to study, show ourselves approved unto You, that we can be workmen that not be ashamed, but rightly dividing Your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to Your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are grateful to God. We just had an awesome celebration on Sunday, our church anniversary, and our pastor's anniversary, and Dr. G was our guest minister, and he did an awesome job, and
Amen.
Know that's why the enemy is messing with his physical body right now.
Amen.
He made the devil mad on Sunday. Amen. So we thank God for the new birth family was in the house, and we thank God that the Holy Spirit came by and sat a little while with us, and we were still on cloud nine. God is awesome. He talked about don't give up on God. Amen. Which is an awesome, awesome topic. Amen.
Amen.
Because God won't give up on us. So we thank God for that. But we are still in the book of Matthew, and we're studying the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we were just talking about in Jesus' earthly ministry, the dynamic of being a minister and being in the flesh at the same time, and that it's challenging. And the whole thing of being a disciple is to learn from Christ how to be Christ-like and be a Christian in the midst of this world. And it's not an easy thing, but if you follow the teachings of Christ, you can be Christ-like and be more Christ-like when you are confronted with the things of the world. And we see that ministry that Jesus was doing as far as curing people, as far as dealing with people in general, it gets to a point where you have to wonder sometimes how you can do it. And the thing is, you have to rely on the Spirit of God to be able to help you get through these situations. And more and more as you grow in Christ, you'll see that it can be done, but we have to rely on Him in order for it to be done. So we're going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago, and we're going to pick up in verse 17 and go down to verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus answered," this is Matthew 17:17. "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And so this is just showing some frustration with Jesus and his disciples. And in spite of that, he had compassion and he continued in ministry. And then in verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." And again, this is showing us that ministry, even though sometimes you're frustrated, even sometimes you're tired, ministry still has to go on, and we still have to live our lives. Just because you're tired doesn't mean that the world's not going to go on.
Right.
We have to get to the understanding is that, yeah, we're saved and we're born again, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but the world is still the world, and the world has a tone that it wants to sing, and that's one of the things that I love about ministry is that we can cry and sing the tone of Christ, and we can tame the tone of the world. And what I mean by that is the world's always going to sing a sour note. It's always going to give you lemons and say it's all lemons. It's all lemons. But when we take on the Christ and the attitude of Christ, the personality of Christ, we'll start taking those lemons and making lemonade, Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree. And that's extremely important in ministry, and I think that's something that we've lost. I think that part of us in our ministry have become like pulpit bullies, so that we're becoming like the world. You know, it's nothing worse than being on a job with the boss in the world that's in charge. You make a mistake, and instead of them encouraging you, they're pushing you and they're putting you down. And I think that's what happens sometimes with the frustration in ministry, because people aren't necessarily doing what they're supposed to do. We become the bully pulpit instead of encouraging people to do the right thing in such a positive and pleasant way. We're pushing them and making them feel like they're the worst people in the world versus showing compassion and love. And so we really have to distinct ourselves from being pushy Christians to being encouragement to say, we're not saying this because I want you to listen to me or because I have all the answers. I want you to see this because there's hope in believing in Jesus Christ. And I think those of us in ministry, if we present it in a very negative and pushy format, people lose sight of that hope and sight of that love. And that's what has caused a lot of people to go out into that world, because the world is drawn to negativity. I mean, look at who the world just recently elected. So we have to be different. That we have to be very positive, very upbeat, and I'm encouraging you this, and I'm telling you this because God is loving, and I'm showing you He's loving by this, and not to be so negative and nasty and pushy like the world.
And Dr. G, that is the true greatest thing that God has left on record, is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And He says, on these two commandments hang all the law. And Christ and God demonstrated that, and through the love of the Holy Spirit that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we can understand that we can overcome evil with good, and we can trust that God's word says that love never fails. In spite of the lemons that the world puts out, and as frustrated as we can get with the world, we still can say, I'm going to love you and I'm going to give you some lemonade, because I know that this is the will of God, is to love in spite of. Dr. G?
Amen. And you're right. And too often, you know, we become frustrated, as Sheila was saying. You know, we think that people should come around in the time frame that we've set up in our own mind, but we forget that the Holy Spirit works in a different type of way than what we think. And you know, just like we were talking about on Sunday, the fact that God never gives up on us, mm-hmm. but, you know, mm-hmm. when we're ministering to people, because they don't respond in the way that we think, you know, we get a little frustrated. We get ready to throw in the towel, you know, and then we do become pulpit bullies. We, you know, we want to beat folk over the head with the Bible. And, I mean, if that was all that was to it, that would be fine. But I've learned
that's right.
You cannot make anybody walk the walk and talk the talk.
Amen.
You know, and people, some people are more babies than what,
right.
where we are. And so they come around, and God is the only one through the power of the Holy Spirit that can get their
mm-hmm.
attention. But you're right. You know, we have to continue to show love and be encouraging by what we do and say.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. And so this is one of the great things about studying the Word of God is that you can see the dynamic of God being sent His Son and Jesus being God and man at the same time, of understanding that you can be Christ-like and you still can have a bad day.
Right.
And
amen.
You can still deal with the frustrations. You can still deal with the headaches, the problems. And you can still act Christ-like, but there's some keys to doing it, and I think we don't take advantage of them. One of the things that we've studied often as we've gone through the book of Matthew is that Jesus got away and prayed, and he got away with his Father, and he meditated, and that is such a big help
mm-hmm.
when you can meditate and get away with your Heavenly Father. And we'll see that at toward the end of this section. But we want to go to verse 19, and it says, "Then came his disciples." This is Matthew 17:19. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence, to yonder place, and it be removed, it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not out, but by prayer and fasting." And so here is the key that will help us to be able to deal with our when we get in our feelings and our emotions, and people have got on your last nerve. And that's
right.
That's one of the things that the enemy wants us to lose our witness, is for us to get in our feelings, people get on our last nerve, and then somebody cusses out Sheila G, and then
mm-hmm.
we end up cussing them back out,
right.
And then they say, "Well, I thought you was a Christian."
Exactly. Amen. Exactly. And then that gives Satan the victory, because that's what it did. He's here to come kill and destroy, steal and destroy, so that's his goal. But what better way than to attack the head of the church, the head of the ministry? And like you said, just shake that belief. All he has to do is shake your belief, and you'll lose some of that faith. But if you have that belief and you trust in God, no matter how you feel, how sad, how upset, or how wrong someone has done you, if you still keep that faith, then you can overcome it all. But Satan just wants to shake you a little bit, because he knows if you just disbelieve Christ and what God can do a little bit, he reduces your power.
Amen.
And you know, when he's talking about your unbelief, you just have the faith the size of the mustard seed. And we
mm-hmm.
just have to have enough faith to be able to overcome evil with good, to be able to
right.
sing a song and make lemonade a lemon, and
put
to be able to say, "I'm going to take the high road. I'm going
mm-hmm.
to do it God's way. I'm going to have this childlike faith to say,
mm-hmm.
even though you talk about me, even though you persecute me,
you
the Bible says that I'm blessed and that I'm above that, and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And if we have that faith the size of the mustard seed,
amen,
when that onslaught of ungodliness comes our way, we just have to say, you know, well, you know, if I do it my way, I know I'm going to mess up. I'm going to have enough belief to say, even though I can't see it, even though I don't feel like it, because sometimes you're in your feeling, you don't feel like it, even though I can't see it, I'm not feeling like it, I'm still going to do it God's way, because I know if I do it my way, I'm going to mess up. And all of us have done that before, where we didn't have enough of the rooted and groundness and trust,
right,
and faith in God to say, I'm going to do it God's way. God tells me to love you even though you're not lovely right now.
Right.
And that happens
exactly.
A lot in families. It happens a lot with husbands,
yeah,
and wives. It happens a lot with kids and parents. It happens
mm-hmm.
a lot in church family. And what happens is, instead of loving
mm-hmm.
each other in spite of each other, we get
right.
in our feelings and we want to go on the worldly route of being nasty,
right,
nasty
mm-hmm.
and impatient. But
right.
God said that's not the way, and it's not going to work. And all of us have seen, anybody who's ever been married knows that if you go the ugly route, it might feel good for a second, Dr. G, G, but you know it's not going to help in the
it's
end, G.
Yeah, it's like you wasted your time and your energy, and you feel worse than you did had you just felt bad for a minute and left it alone, you know. And I was listening to a message today, and the preacher was talking about how when certain people come up to you and you really want to say, you going to talk to me like that, and you going to do me like that after all I've done for you? And he was
saying
And it's true. And he's like, I did this, that, and the other, and now you going to treat me like this? But he was saying, you got to do that. You got to turn that thing around and recognize that's the enemy trying to shake your faith. And we need to twist it around and say that, you know what? I've done, after all that I've done for you, you're going to treat me like that. But because you treat me like that and all that I've done for you, and because I'm not going to be nasty to you, God, I'm going to get blessed twice as much had I yielded to my flesh and said what I was thinking.
Amen. And like I said, everybody lives in the flesh. And as we study this word, the dynamics of Jesus' ministry becomes more prevalent to see how he dealt with the flesh and still was godly at the same time. And that's what he's asking us. And that's the challenge today is to live godly in a temple. Amen. They wants to act up.
That's right.
The temple of God wants to act up. I mean, not the temple, but the flesh wants to act up. It wants to do its thing. It wants to have its way. It wants to be right all the time. It wants to come and go as it wants. It don't want anybody to hurt its feelings. It don't want anybody to say anything bad about it. In other words, it'll act up. But the challenge is to be like Christ, is to be godly and still live in the flesh. And that is a challenge. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in ministry. I don't care how many degrees you have, how many schools you've gone to. If you are still in this flesh, and all of us are in this flesh, and you're saved, in other words, you got the Spirit of Christ, and you're in the body, you're still going to have challenges. And that's just the way it is. That's why he says that this kind of thing in ministry, when it comes to the serious things of ministry, as far as performing of the ministry that God would have, that would demonstrate miracles, that would demonstrate faith, that would draw people to Christ, he says this, the way to do that is through prayer and fasting. He said that's the only way it's going to happen. But too many times we don't have time to pray, Dr. G, and we don't even want to fast. We want to be fat and happy all the time, Dr. G.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, too, I was just sitting here thinking that, you know, you're right. But the one thing that, because, you know, with all the schooling that we've had, school can't teach you that.
Amen.
That's something that you have to actually, you know, you have to be so close to the Lord that when those types of situations come up, and they are going to come up, especially if you're pastoring,
yes, they are.
Amen.
You know, they're going to come up, and the more you do for folk
mm-hmm.
out of the love of Christ,
mm-hmm.
the more people will take advantage of it. And then when they get mad with you, they go the other direction. I mean, I've had so many people in my years of pastoring, and see, all the schools that I went through never prepared me for all that.
Oh, no.
Because if they had, I might have said, well, you know what? I'm not sure I want to go in. You know, cuss me out in front of folks,
uh-huh.
call me everything but a child. I've had my own children go crazy. All that was done in the church, you know, you get money, you do this, you do that, but then they'll turn their back on you, then they'll scheme against you, and only your faith in Christ will bring
right.
you through all of that.
Right.
Because you're right, you know, the flesh is a rough partner,
mm-hmm.
and when
yes,
you're being
attacked, right.
you know, automatically your defenses go
right.
up.
Right.
And it says you don't have to take this.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned that you take it, you grin and bear it, you bite that tongue,
yeah.
and you let the Lord fight that battle.
That's
because
right.
he can do more with your quietness
yep.
than you can with
yeah.
you running off at your mouth.
Amen. Amen. Man. Amen.
It's so true. And that's why you got to do that prayer. And if you are a believer in Christ, and you are a Christian, you claim to have Christ in your life, and you're not a praying person,
hello.
You're in serious trouble. If
that's
you don't
right.
take the time out during the day, I'm not talking about no now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm talking about sitting down, spending some time. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it didn't have to be a highfalutin prayer, but it
all
just
right.
needs to be a thing where you're communicating with God. And telling,
mm-hmm.
I mean, highfalutin meaning all these big words and these and thous and, you know, all of that. It's just a conversation with God and saying, God, you know the situation. I'm in the flesh and I'm
mm-hmm.
dealing with this right now. Such and such has got on my nerves. I know you want
right.
me to love them in spite of them, but I don't feel like it right now. I need
Amen.
Your Holy Spirit and your anointing right now to anoint my mouth. To anoint
mm-hmm.
my mind, to guide my heart, my mind, my thoughts. Give me the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, God, to be able to deal with this because I cannot deal with this on my own. So I need to be walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. And God,
right.
I know you get tired of hearing me, but here I am again talking to you. Help me, God, right now before I lose my mind.
Amen.
I mean, it's just those kind of conversations you have with God. And God doesn't care if you get mad at him and get frustrated and yell and scream. That's
no.
the whole thing of going to God. It's like therapy. It's like sitting on
yeah.
the couch
and
letting God psychoanalyze you and to give you the wisdom to be able to deal with it. A lot
right.
of times people like to hold things in. People like to get frustrated. People get depressed. People get in all kind of physical and mental states. But all we have to do is take it to the Lord in prayer.
Right.
God says, cast your cares upon him, you know, because
mm-hmm.
he cares for us. And,
right.
and he lived this walk. He's walked this walk, and he knows all about it. That's why I like that song that says, Jesus knows all about our struggles.
Yes,
and he will
does.
Guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
That's right.
But you got to spend time with them. That's just
right.
like trying to get to know somebody to the point where you're getting ready to have a serious relationship with them. You can't
mm-hmm.
have a serious relationship with nobody if you don't spend time with them.
That's right. Amen.
When you started dating Sheila G and Dr. G, y'all started dating. Y'all spent a whole lot of time together.
Yeah, we sure did. And it's important
a whole lot of time together.
In that prayer, because at the time, if you don't prepare, it's preparation. So if you're automatically communing and having that relationship with God, when you do get hit, because Satan's not going to let you know in advance that somebody's going to attack you, especially in the ministry. And because you're in front of everybody, he wants to catch you off guard.
Mm.
He wants you. So that's not going to be the time for you to say, you know what, I'm not going to say anything to you. Let me go over here and pray. No, because you still have to, even though you're feeling a certain way inside, your inner outer person person has to have that knowledge of Christ. But if you don't have that prayer relationship, like you said, you can't say that quick, Lord, 10 seconds, keep my mouth, keep the smile on my face, keep my chin up, let me not say anything, because you're not doing it automatically. If you're doing it and communicating with him on a regular basis, every day, all the time, when Satan does throw something at you and you're in the ministry and in your front of people and you want to show the love of Christ, you can just speak it in your mind really quick, and God will give you that peace and give you that mindset not to suppress those feelings and let the spirit come out of you. But you can't do that if you haven't built that relationship so that you do have that automatic when, like when a parent hears a child say help, you know, a mother always knows right. A child's cry. They know that cry, whether it's just whining because I'm tired, I'm sleepy or hungry, or else I'm really in trouble. And it has to be is a quick cry, because you developed that relationship. God's not going to recognize your cry if you haven't developed that relationship. So by the time you go and try to get yourself together to have prayer, Satan's already gotten in there. Your flesh has already risen up. And even if you're, quote-unquote, not saying anything, you may have your lip dropped down to the floor, so your nonverbal communication is not communicating as well.
Right. But like you said, it's preparation. And I want to jump to this thing about fasting. The thing about fasting is it goes against what the flesh. The flesh is like, how dare you deny me? And so when your flesh is fat and happy and comfortable, it has the ability to resist against you walking in the spirit. But when you begin to start denying the flesh, it'll fight for a little while. Anybody ever fasted? It'll fight for a little while. But after a while, what will happen is the spirit will rise up and be prominent. So you have two entities, the flesh and the spirit, that are trying to take preeminence in your walk. And so what happens is when you begin to start denying the flesh, and what happens is the spirit takes preeminence in your walk, and you begin to start walking more like Christ and less like the world. And so. The benefit of the prayer and the fasting is it puts the flesh in a state of subordinate. It becomes subordinate to the spirit. In other words, it's subordinate. In other words, it doesn't have the ability to rise up and act a fool. And it comes with prayer and fasting. It comes with preparation. You know that I'm praying and I'm fasting. I'm putting my flesh in subjugation of the spirit. So when this stuff comes out, the flesh is obedient and says, no, that's not how we're going to act, because the spirit is preeminent and the spirit's going to act that way. But if you let the flesh be fat and happy all the time, oh my goodness, you never see so many fleshy Christians, because they won't spend time in prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Well, too, and you know, Jesus himself said that whosoever follow him needs to pick up his cross, deny self, and pick up his cross and follow him. So it is a thing that we've got to learn how to deny that flesh in order to do what we need to do. And then, you know, because I was sitting here thinking that one scripture I love is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, you were talking about spending time with the Lord in prayer, and all that he was getting ready to go through, and he was in the flesh, but he was spirit also. Mm-hmm. So he had to go spend some time with the Lord in prayer. And when he came back to his disciples, they were asleep. You know, that just frustrated them even more. But yet, he went on back and pray again. So spending that time with the Lord and denying that fasting, it plays a big part in helping you keep your mind together in the way that the Lord would have you.
Amen. And one of the things that fasting, it's like you're getting the nutrition from the Spirit. In other words, your soul begins to rely on the spirit and not so much on the flesh, that the fulfillment of the fleshy things, like someone likes a big bowl of ice cream and brownies and Someone likes a big slice of pizza and all these things that are so satisfying to the flesh that is dependent on the flesh. But when you begin to start denying that, what happens is now you have to rely on the spirit. And then another thing about fasting is you can fast on Thursday night and not watch TV but call in on the Bible line or come to the studio or whatever you want to do. But you're denying that self. You're fasting that favorite TV program by putting in a DVR. And what happens is if you're used to it, you'll go through some withdrawals. Folks that like to see a certain show on Thursday night at this time, if you stop looking at that show at Thursday night at a certain time, you're going to go through some withdrawals on Thursday night.
Amen.
Same thing on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Same thing if you get up in the morning and pray in the morning and miss that 30 minutes of sleep. You set the clock a little bit earlier. I know I'm stepping on some toes right now. You set the clock a little bit earlier in the morning and get up and take that half hour. You're going to fast that sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I got that from Dr.
Hello.
Z on Sunday. Amen. and get up and spend some time with the Lord. Fast. The flesh is going to fight you tooth and nail. But I guarantee you, if you start saying, Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know, and you start going into prayer with the Lord in the morning, and you fast that half hour, whether it's in the morning or whatever time it is during the day, what will happen is the spirit will begin to start taking preeminence. You'll begin
That's
to
right.
start growing spiritually. You'll be able to start handling more things. And then what
right.
will happen is God will start enlarging your territory. God will start elevating your ministry. Your ministry will begin to start expanding. You'll begin to start seeing things that God sees in the spirit realm because you're denying yourself and you're not relying on the flesh, but you're in the spirit. And you see
mm-hmm.
the benefit of that. And then God said, now I can use him. I can use her. I can use them because now they're taking serious the prayer and the fasting. But a lot of churches, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they pray and fasting is the last result. It's like, oh, Lord, my leg is going to fall off. Now I think I'm ready to pray and fast.
Amen.
I'm shut up and let you talk, Sheila G.
Well, that's all right. And it's funny because once you get into just the opposite habit of, like you said, getting up in that morning, making sure you read that daily bread, making sure you're reading the word, making sure that you're hearing a word before your day really, really gets started. When you don't do it, then you get withdrawals from that. So
it withdraws also, yeah.
Right. You can't sleep
Either
in,
way.
You know, whereas you got when you first do it, you're getting withdrawals because you're used to that extra sleep. But once you start manifesting that in your life and that walk with Christ, you can't sleep because you'll wake up. Or when you wake up, it's like, okay, you know what? My body, my spirit needs that time in the morning with the Lord or else my day is going to be totally messed up. So it becomes a part of your routine. And that's why it's so important to put because to make it truly a part of your life, like you said, not something that you do when you're going through, but something that is part of what makes you going, and you end up building that spirit so that when the flesh tries to take over and tries to get you to sleep later or tries to get you to avoid that prayer time, you don't feel right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
and Jesus, go ahead, Dr.
We live in a world now where people love their comfort zones. We don't want to leave that comfort zone because it's comfortable. And fasting and praying, although within us we know we need it, we know it's what the Lord wants, but, you know, we find all kinds of excuses, you know, we're too busy with this, with that. And as you said, and then when we get sick, then when the doctors say we've got such amount of time, then we want to start doing all of that. But the time to do it is when you're in good health, when you've got all the things clicking and you have a desire to draw closer to Christ. Because we forget sometimes that, you know, our job is not to be comfortable. Our job is to help win souls to Christ.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't say go you therefore and be comfortable. that wasn't the text.
Come on.
He said go you therefore and get active, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And
amen.
I think we've added to or taken away from the text, which God told us not to do, and said, go ye therefore and be comfortable, doing whatever you can to be comfortable. And lo, God will be with you while you're in your comfort zone. that wasn't a great commission. That wasn't a great command. So we've got to get back to the original text. It's a big thing in the world now called fake news. Everybody's talking about fake news, where people just put stuff out there to put stuff out there. That's what the flesh will tell you. The flesh will give you some fake news, buddy. It'll tell you, you don't need to spend time with God. Go ahead and sleep in. You'll be all right. The devil's talking about, yeah, I'm going to get somebody and smack you upside your head as soon as you get to work. And you're going to cuss them out. And they're going to say, not you, miss. This was our anniversary, and the Lord been so good, and he's got you on video cussing and choking somebody. Talking about God is good. They got security coming and hauling you out, and the police and FBI coming to check you out.
That's right.
But
funny.
That's the dynamic. The dynamic is we have the Spirit of God in us, but it's in this flesh, and we have to learn how to deal with it. And the only way we can deal with it is to follow the example of Christ. And he says the only way you deal with it is through prayer and fasting. So the question is anybody in the church still praying? And if we are praying, are we still fasting?
Amen.
So we're going to ask that question tonight. Amen. Does the church understand the benefit of fasting and praying? Or do we really understand the dynamic of living in the flesh, the spirit living in the flesh, and having to deal with this, and how God wants us to deal with it? I don't know if I asked that question. Let me try to phrase that question a little bit different. Number one, do we understand the dynamic? The dynamic that we have the Spirit of God living in a fleshy body, and we still are required by God to live a holy life, a righteous life. And God says the way that we can deal with that is through constant prayer and fasting, and as a church, are we willing to do that, and are we doing that? And so that's the question. I'm going to go to the studio audience. We got Big Brother Brandon here in the studio, and we're going to go to him first.
Amen.
See you, Big Brother Brandon. It's on. Give it a second.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
So you got like a two-part question. That's what we're doing for 2017. We got two-part questions. The first part is, you know, definitely the most important, and I was just sitting here thinking about it. I would definitely say I've always been of the mindset that knowing doesn't actually mean that you're actually doing it or applying it. So I would say, yes, the church knows what its obligation is as far as, you know, remaining in this flesh but still doing thus said the Lord and having to live in this world, but are we doing it? I would have to say consistently we're not. You know, I've always said that, you know, this, as long if I mean, I know some church people get you to, but I think if we could remain within the walls of the church every day, all day, I think we could.
We
but
do a little
just,
bit better.
We do a little bit better. Yeah, exactly. We do a little bit better, but I think we're good. We're motivated. We're excited when we're in the church, but then when we leave, that world just wears on you. It tears at you. It pulls you and hugs you, and it's so easy to get caught back up because you're looking at your cell phones. You're planning what you're getting ready to do. We get so caught back up in the flesh and, okay, what I got to do for tomorrow, you know, work, plan. So you just get so caught up in the flesh. And I think a lot of times the struggle is that we know what to do, but we leave it at the church. We don't carry it out with us. And I know I've been guilty of it because even sometimes towards the end of the church, I'm already thinking what I got to do, where I got to go, and I'm trying to do better. But I think the human nature is just, as you say, to take it beyond just, hey, I'm coming to church, I'm going to do my 2 hours, my 3 hours, and then I'm going to go back and do whatever. But to understand that even though we're in this flesh, you have to take God with you and keep him with you throughout your week, throughout your day, every hour, as far as doing that. And is the only way we're going to ever be successful as Christians or to be a great church is to actually do that, because we all know by the time Sunday morning comes, you'd have been beat all week long.
Oh, my goodness.
Flesh. So you're looking rejuvenated and looking to get, you know, your spirit filled. And that's why I appreciate what you guys do during the middle of the week, because it helps kind of recharge my battery. So I got some gas left in the tank to get to Sunday. You know, I'm not dragging all the way, spiritually dragging all the way all the way in. So I definitely think that the church does know it, but I don't think consistently we have a lot of people in the church who are actually doing it and understanding that that's what they have to do. And I mean, it's just human nature. We like things easy. We don't like to have to work because it requires work. It requires dedication. So from the human side, you're like, all these things I have to deal with, do. Now I got to try to be a perfect Christian. Now I have to try to, you know, live this life. And when people talk to me or when I'm going through something, I have to walk this walk. But that's the attitude of somebody who's making it about them to say, look, what did I really get myself into when I, you know, decided, you know, to give my life unto Christ and accept Lord, you know, God as my Lord and Savior? And a lot of people don't really understand the requirement or the obligation that you basically, you know, bestowed upon yourself by giving your life to Christ. And I think it goes back to the beginning. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I want to be good. But that journey is what deters people. People don't really know what they're actually asking for, what they're stepping to. And as Christians, especially with the beginning of a new year, it's about time that we really take a look at ourselves and realize, like, look, to be a Christian, this is what we have to do. This is what we need to do. You know, and until we do that, we're going to always find ourselves keep repeatedly banging our heads against the same wall because it's never going to get any better. You're going to continue to go through the same things, the same storms until we realize that, you know what we need to do. Church is the preparation. Yeah. It's really meant to go beyond the walls of the church. And until we grasp that concept, the only time we're going to say it or maybe even apply it is within those walls and not do what God wants to do and go out to all nations, to our brothers and sisters, and actually speak God's word. So until we do that, we're going to always continue to have these issues within the Christian world.
Amen. I like what you said about that. It's preparation. We got Big Brother Anthony in the studio tonight. Big Brother Anthony.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just tailgate off of what Brandon was saying there. In the church, we definitely know, but it comes to a point where you just got to, you know, buckle down and get to it. Some things that just like you said, you know, it's not that one thing that you want to do, but you got to do it. And I think, you know, in certain cases, you know, some situations they was looking at, I was thinking about, we was talking about one time on the first word, and that you know, sometimes, like you said, you know, getting that boost in the middle of the week, we don't really get to a point, you know, to where we seek God like that all the time until something happens. And after it's too late, and then it'll do you good when you seek it afterwards. But, you know, if you were doing it constantly all the time, then, you know, it would help, definitely help prevent or help you out in that situation, like you guys have been saying. So I definitely think that implementing certain things in your life, like constantly, will definitely help you in the long run.
Amen. Right.
Thank you, Brother Anthony. We're going to go to the phone lines. Sheila G., you have something to comment on that before we go to the phone line?
No, I mean, I agree with all of what they're saying. It's just piggybacking on what we've been discussing all this time.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. Last four digits of your phone number, 9772. You're on the air, 9772.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm getting over the flu or the pneumonia or whatever to be able to pick the line and listen to you talk. I've never learned what fasting is. If it comes to me short, I love to eat good food, so if it's something to cut out to find God, I'd have to cut out anything. But so far, I haven't learned to cut them out. So somebody's had to learn, help me to learn how to fast. I just do not know. When it comes to food, I might be a lost ball.
Amen.
But I can need some help.
Amen. All right.
I'm asking for prayer and help, because when it comes to good food, I might be lost.
Amen. Well,
amen.
We definitely go.
Amen.
We're going to teach and thank you for your comment. We're definitely going to teach and do some more teaching on this about fasting, because it's really beneficial to overcoming some of the stubborn things that the flesh and some of the stubborn things that the spirit in the spirit realm needs. That spiritual focus, and when you have that type of spiritual focus, through that prayer and that fasting, you can move through some of that stubbornness, that opposition to the righteousness of God. And so, yeah, we'll keep preaching, keep teaching on that. And a lot of people are in the same situation when it comes to fasting. But we're going to keep preaching, keep teaching. You're saying you're asking for help. You keep asking God will show it to you with no question. All right, let's go to the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Praying and fasting is very important, very crucial to your spiritual growth. It's much easier to pray than to fast.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting, you have to deny yourself, to truly deny the flesh, the things. I guess you get a little bit deeper. You really learn to know the things that your heart desire and want and the things you love to eat. And I can use myself for example, because I know I love to watch TV. And not that I look at everything on TV. I have my little special programs. But I do like to watch them daily. And also I love to drink coffee and certain other things. You know, I love to eat. And
right.
So when I start giving up those things, it's like you say, your body go through the rejection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But what I find out is I have to replace it with a little bit more prayer time, studying the word, spending more time with God. And then my mind is not so focused on those things. And eventually those desires go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I can testify that you do is strength. Whenever I do it and I'm sincere, the Lord truly bless me. I am strengthened spiritually. I see a difference in my spiritual walk. But it's something that I need to do more and more of it. Not only me, but the church. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying in general. Because we know that in order for us to be victorious and to have a closer and a personal relationship and to be able to solve some of the problems and conditions and things that we're up against and be able for the Holy Spirit to use us effective, we have to be praying and fasting. We
Amen.
Have to be in the Holy Spirit in order for God to use us. So, yes, that is my goal for 2017, to do more praying and fasting, because you can't, there's not too much of it. And Pastor Gregory, I also read this week, this past couple of days, about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he taking that time going away to pray and to fast. And one of the things that he told his disciples, he said, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And one of the things that come to me was, you have to go in your prayer closet and pray with Jesus by yourself sometimes.
Amen.
But it's good to have the other people with you. It's good to have the other saints there praying with you, even though they're not in your prayer closet. It's just good to know that their presence is there, that they are supporting you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, one of the things that when you look at this dynamic, when I say dynamic, I mean the many facets of being a Christian, the many facets that Christ demonstrated when he was God and man at the same time. When he began his earthly ministry, he began it on a fast.
He did.
He went out into the wilderness, and he didn't have anything for 40 days. And so he fasted to be able to get prepared to go through this earthly ministry. I think his earthly ministry, I think the record says it was three years, somewhere from 3 years, 3.5 years, somewhere along there. But in order for him to get through that 3 years of earthly ministry, actually full-blown ministry, he had to fast and pray.
That's right.
We follow, look at that dynamic. I don't think any of us has ever fasted for 40 days. Somebody might have fasted for 40 days.
No.
But you know, it's a thing of that's what it took that mm-hmm. dynamic of fasting and praying, that's what it took to be able to complete that earthly ministry. In other words, he wouldn't have done it if it wasn't necessary. In other mm-hmm. words, if he didn't know it was necessary when he began that earthly ministry, and as soon as he came out of the wilderness, Satan jumped dead in him. And then said, you know, if you get this bread, and let me not misquote this. Go back to Matthew. I think it's the When he began his earthly ministry, same chapter, same book, Matthew, fourth chapter, and it says, beginning at verse 1, then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the Spirit came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And verse 4 it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we see that in his beginning of his earthly ministry, there had to be some fasting. There had to be some spending time with God. And so we, again, look at this dynamic. Look at all the things that are involved. He just wasn't man, but he was God. We're not just flesh, but we're spirit also. And so we have to learn how to take on that dynamic also of fasting and praying so that we can carry out the righteousness of God. And that's what Jesus came when John the Baptist baptized him. He said, you know, suffer now to be so, because thus fulfills us to fulfill. Let me not misquote that either. Let me go back to Matthew 3. I don't want to misquote it. If you go back to Matthew, the third chapter, when Jesus was baptized, his whole purpose was to fulfill the righteousness of God. And so in verse 14, Matthew 3:14 said, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And so the whole purpose for Jesus was to fulfill the righteousness of God. The whole purpose for us is to fulfill the righteousness of God. And so in that dynamic, we have to be able to take on the actions that he did, which was prayer and fasting, for us to fulfill the righteousness of God in our lives. And so that's why it's so important for the church to be on one accord in this situation, in circumstances, so we can fulfill the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So I just want to touch base on that. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7348. 7348, you are on the air. 7348 must be listening in. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 7971.
Everyone, hello, do you hear me?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, we hear you.
You can hear me? Okay. Fasting was a masterful tool that God used in everything that he did. And if you read in the Bible, all through the Bible, it tells you when anything came up before God, the first thing he would do would be to fast. And
Amen.
He taught them to fast and pray. So we as Christians sometimes just breeze over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just Amen. Words on paper, words in a book. But fasting is a spiritual tool that he has given us to receive whatever is in our heart, the desire to do, but you have to humble yourself.
Amen.
In this word, it tells you, you have to humble yourself to fast. He usually fasts with water. We usually fast with food. Either one. If you fast and pray, it can be done. And I am a living testimony. I went to a with a group of ladies in the mountains in Pennsylvania. Sheila, you may have gone there too.
It's
people up there.
Yes.
And we fasted. And we prayed. And at that time, I had a lot of things going on physically in my body.
Mm-hmm.
They really worried about me. But I went to that chapel and I prayed, God, give me the strength to do thy will. I am here for a purpose, and I need your help.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I did not eat anything, but we prayed constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I took my medicine. I drank the water.
Yep.
And we were there for 3 days. And God, I mean, just miraculously, was healing people. Satan tried to come in. Our leader, she just fainted out on the floor. For real, this is for real. This is no. And one of the elders said, "Everybody, get back. We are prepared."
Mm-hmm.
You know how we were prepared? We had followed his word humbly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In him to give us what he wants us to have, and when she finished praying, there were no doctors there. We were up in the mountain. We didn't have no cell phone.
Mm.
She got up. We finished our praying and fasting all night long. And all I can say to you all is, if you want what's in this book, you must follow it.
Amen.
That's right.
Brother Richardson, I have a book on fasting. I will give it. I will loan it to you because I passed it out. It breaks down fasting any way you want to look at it. If you want to have that in your spirit,
amen.
Pastor Gregory, minister, I can't think of her name. The one that had the stroke and sick.
Minister Henry.
Henry.
Yeah. The last time that you all had. Teaching of God's word in your church. She gave me a book, 40 Days with Jesus.
I remember that.
Yep.
40 Days with Jesus. It can be done.
Amen.
But it has to be in your heart. It has to be in your spirit. And it is for real.
Amen.
For real.
Amen.
God loves us, and he doesn't put anything on us that our heart and spirit desires that he does not fulfill.
Amen.
It's good. And Minister Lindsay and I talk about it all the time. And we say to each other, what do we have to do?
All right.
What did God do?
Mm-hmm.
Fast, and he prayed.
Amen.
Anything in any situation, we should learn to do that every time without making any excuses.
Amen.
Amen. No excuse.
It's medicine. You don't have to give up everything, but try it. But try it. It works.
Amen.
I don't think there's nobody on this earth has been as sick as I have in my lifetime. But I have used this little book. It's just pale, and it's a beautiful book that tells you how to fast, the purpose for fasting, but have to be humble. You have to have a heart of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It works. Trust me. Yeah, if anyone wants this book, I'll order it. I'll give it to them. But it is something that we all must do because that's what it is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
To receive in everything he did before he ascended to that cross. He called his disciples in, and he went into fasting and praying because he knew what was going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a cleansing. It's a cleansing of your soul to let him know that God, I'm your child, and I am leaning and depending on you for everything, and I want my life to be as pure as yours is. When that time comes, I guarantee you, you won't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
In your spiritual walk. You don't need nobody to tell you because he will come and tell you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Listen. Just listen. You go to bed and you wake up and you hear that little voice.
Mm-hmm.
And see it happen. Fasting is for real. And it's not going to hurt anyone. Because he wouldn't put it in here if he thought it was going to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You got to trust him. You got to believe him. And we all know he won't let you down.
That's right.
He will not. He will not. It tells you the purposes for fasting. Anything you need to know about fasting is in here. It is worth it. It's worth the money to pay for it if you have any doubts about it. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to make that extra step to get the tools that we need, literature, and things that is in the Bible, but sometimes it's not broken down. It gives you the verses. It gives you everything that you would need to learn how to fast. And if you're obedient and you really want to fast, he will show it to you. He will give it to you. He will give it to you. I couldn't see it no other way. When things started, I started getting frustrated with myself. I did not this flesh and pray to him. And he works it out. Sometimes we can't do it. We just can't do it. We can call on God, but sometimes I could talk to Pastor, I could talk to Sheila, I could talk to Reverend Gregory, I could talk to Reverend Lindsay, but those are the tools that God has on this earth for us to communicate with.
Amen.
Don't sit at home and hurt inside wanting to know something and then don't get involved in what it's going to take for me to have that. I want it too. I want to be free. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. He'll give it to you. And being a diabetic, you have to deny this flesh. You have to deny
this
flesh. And sometimes you can't do it by yourself. I love to cook. I love to eat. A sweetholic. As long as it's sweet.
Amen.
But I have prayed, and he is taking it. Sodas, I was a Pepsi-holic.
Amen.
I had to pray and fast, and when I came out of that hospital, that Pepsi was gone.
Hello.
I knew that.
Gone. I had to fast. I fast on Pepsi. And when I see anybody else, I say, you need to throw it away. You need to get rid of it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So try it and see what the end will be. And you will thank yourself for being obedient, humble to his word, to yourself. And God will fix it for you.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Definitely going to be doing more teaching and sharing about fasting. We have one more caller before we close out tonight. We didn't want to even the way out. Last four digits, 2194. 2194, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Good everybody. Yes. I believe in the prayer, and as far as the fasting, I take a lot of medicine, and so sometimes I have to have food, but there's other ways that you fast. You just don't have to be with food. You know, you give up something, whatever you give up, and I done gave up plenty of stuff, plenty of bad habits, and I consider that as fasting because I'm giving up because he gave up his life for me so I could see another life. So it's you got to humble yourself. You got to have the right heart and everything. And the prayer part, I'm just praying. I feel like I got a personal relationship with him. When something come on me, I go to him and look to those hills. So,
amen.
So I'm just trying to continue to grow and giving up the old habits. Y'all don't know the stuff that I done gave up, the dirty habits that I done had. And, you know, when you put something down, you put it down. If you're giving it up, I consider that a form of fasting, too, because, like I said, he gave up his life for us. So, you know, I don't even have to look back at all that. That's gone.
That's right.
I'll fast in which way I see, because I don't do too much TV and stuff. I don't do that Facebook. I don't do that kind of stuff anyway. I wasn't into that because I'm private. I just didn't bother with that. But it's more than one way. Like I said, the food part, but the sweet part, and I'm a diabetic. I'd be in the store right now. I would have bought that whole store. I didn't buy one sweet thing. I'm eating more fruit and vegetables because I want my body to get better because I'm sick sometimes, really sick. And if you want your body to get better, we have to do better for ourselves, you know. So I believe in the prayer, and I believe in fasting and whatever way that you fast in. You're giving up something. Like you said, I said, he gave up something for us. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. So that's all I wanted to say, and I just want to thank him for being with me, and I want to thank all of you, all of the encouragement that I have gotten, because that's going to help me grow also. That's why I'm on this phone right now, because I want to hear.
Amen.
I want to learn more. So I want to be more Christ-like like him also.
Amen.
So he'll change you, because he changed his tongue of mine when he did that. He really did something for me. So I believe in him, I trust him, and I love him. And I just thank you all for listening. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sheila G, a whole lot of good stuff in here. I'm going to let you and Dr. G have your last words and then close us out in prayer.
Well, you know, I think everyone has pretty much hit it on the head. When you go back and you study Jesus from the beginning when he was led out into the wilderness, and God knew that in order for him to be successful for what he had to deal with, he had to be prepared. And everything that he did, he set the example for us. So it is possible for us to fast and pray. And one thing that we have to keep in mind is that fasting goes with prayer. You can't just fast and call it quits. Because when your body is going through those withdrawals, then that's when you begin to pray, and the Lord fills that gap with something else. So, you know, everything that's in that Bible, as everyone has said, you know, we really have to make up in our minds that we're going to follow it more this year than what we have in the past. And, you know, the word commitment comes to mind. You know, we've got to stop the excuses and stop with all the nice turkey talk. You know, we could all find things to do on Thursday evenings, but to get into that word and really draw closer to Christ, it takes some denying of the things that we enjoy doing. And be honest with you, all this stuff that we do, we really don't need to do anyhow. And if you would learn how to just give some of that junk up and spend some real time with the Lord, we would be such happier people. But again, it's hard to get people to give things up. But, you know, we pray that the study of his word and the Bible study and prayer sessions and all of that will help to steer people in the right direction. And, you know, we thank God for Jesus for setting the proper example. And if it wasn't for Christ, I think all of us would have been long forgotten a long time ago. So we do give God the praise. And, you know, as you grow in Christ, you're going to be confronted with different things. And what we have to keep in mind, I know our time is over with, the devil knows how to get at each of us.
Yeah.
And it's a different thing that he uses. But that's where prayer and fasting comes in. And if we trust in God, he'll show us how to win that battle.
Yes, amen. He will.
Amen. Well, we're going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you again, O Lord. We thank you for another evening, Lord, that we could spend some time with you. Father, we thank you for what we've learned. We've talked about a great deal of things, but Lord, we thank you that we've ended up on prayer and fasting. Father, we thank you now that we've got to understand that we've got to learn how to deny this flesh in order that we can grow spiritually. Father, we pray right now that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us and help us to understand what's in that word. And Lord, I'm praying that more this year than ever before, mm-hmm. that we can get people to understand that, you know, talk is good, but it's time to put up now. And Lord, I'm praying that you would convict us and convince us that there is no better way or no other way than what's in that word. Lord, we thank you for those that have called in. We thank you for those that have come out to the studio. And Father, we're praying now that you would continue to help Pastor C, help myself to continue to mend and heal, oh God, that we can get back to full ministry. And Father, we thank you for this past Sunday. We thank you for how your spirit moved. And oh God, we pray that we will continue to get stronger and better and continue to stand on that word, that we might continue to proclaim the name of Christ. Father, we ask now that you would be with us one more day. And whatever your will is for tomorrow, we pray that it will be done. Father, we ask it all right now in the precious name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for tonight. We'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.